That conscious awareness that I am this undying self, which is called life, which is the child of God, this must be your ever ready conscious awareness. This is how you walk through the day in the appearance called form. And because I am this life, which is the child of God, only the qualities of this life are the true qualities of my being. I am truly the heir to my Father's universe, not tomorrow, but now. And the qualities of God are the qualities of my life now. I am complete. I have no needs. What can the child of God need? If my Father is infinity itself, if I have an infinite Father, what can I need? I have. I am. All that the Father hath, all that is in infinity, here and now, I have. And the Father, who is the power, the presence, the mind, is expressing those qualities in my life here and now. That which had been my mind can no longer be deluded by the appearances of lack or limitation. I reject those appearances. I can express no desire to fulfill a need, because the life of God is self-fulfilling. And the life of God is the life of the child, and therefore I am self-fulfilling. There's nothing to intervene in or to interfere in. I accept that I am self-fulfilling life. Whatever I need must reveal itself through its own inner sustenance, without any human effort. I am accepting grace here and now, for that is the law of the child of God. My Father is running his life where I stand. The world will say differently. My mind will reach out to agree with the world, but I am being reborn of a new consciousness which is higher than my mind. The mind that was not heir to the kingdom of God. And I am finding my inner peace, my confidence, my assurance that I am dropping all of the remnants of a dying self, a fearful self, a doubtful self, a vulnerable self. There never was such a one. These figments of the mental imagination are part of my rebirth as they drop away. Consciously, I let them drop away. I am being loyal to identity, to the Father, to the self, to the life. When we make these inroads into our spiritual identity and the roots begin to take hold and we add patience, born of faith, patience born of knowledge, patience born of conviction, patience born of divine authority, and rest in the word that I am that spirit, that I have no beginning in time, no end, I begin to feel my formless self in space. I begin to know myself everywhere as living spirit, indivisible. Where is your spirit? Is it in a place? Is it packaged in a form? Is it confined? Is the child of God in any one place? Is not the only begotten of the Father the infinite child of God? How could we have depended on a limited, finite human mind to tell us about an infinite child of God? And so I rest in self, and let self define itself. Let self reveal itself. Let self govern itself. For now I have control of that mind which would govern, which would fear, and which would doubt. That mind cannot rise in me, for Christ has risen. The world touches the mind, but I stand guardian over that mind. In my secret place of identity as spirit, child of God, the human mind loses all its power to deceive me, all its power to present duality, to counterfeit the reality of God. The human mind is revealed as the only adversary I ever had. And when it loses its power over my new consciousness, it matters not what the world reports to that mind. That mind has to report it to my consciousness, which vetoes it instantly. And you stand in the new consciousness as a babe in Christ. You're not concerned about the world. And you've got your eye on that mind until it loses all power to entrap you with its deceptions. Until every material claim it makes is silenced before it even starts to speak. The new consciousness, that transition gradually establishes the new beachhead of soul over mind. No power is given to any material thing in this world. No power of belief in it. Stand ye still in the soul until the mind dissolves its own self. And we will be fed from a new source. The soul lives in the kingdom of heaven on earth. Where the perfection of God is the only reality. The soul, which is one with the Father, is the majority. The soul is the one which is a majority. The soul is the power over what the world calls balm and disease and sin and lack and limitation. It is a power because there never was power in the material world, except over those who live in a material sense of life. All power is revealed as non-power, as you attain some measure of your soul consciousness. You need nothing to defend against. All is done effortlessly, for the dream of second powers is dissolved. I don't think for one moment that what you're doing is rationalizing or pretending. You'll discover that when you have overcome the human mind, the so-called powers of the world disappear for you. They may be there, the bomb may still be around, diseases may still be around, limits, lacks, limitations may still be around. You're not going to dissolve them in the world, but you'll dissolve them in your world. They will not enter your world. The miracle of that, you can probably understand through your soul. Your soul takes dominion over your world. And it doesn't matter if the bomb drops next door to you. It will not come nigh thy dwelling. And that goes for every human power, every material power. The power of spirit is revealed as omnipotent when you have reached the level of overcoming the human mind in you. Every single miracle in the Bible is a representation of that truth. Now that's our direction. We hope to come to a place where the human mind completely loses its capacity to influence us in any way. Then instead of crucifying Christ, we will have crucified the world. We'll resume in about 5 or 10 minutes. The reason we use the Bible is because it is becoming known to most of us now that the words of the Christ are the words of God in you. This is no longer a matter of some kind of prestidigitation in which you juggle things around. It's actually the word of the Father, the universal word, expressed through Christ in print, but Christ being the universal self. This is the word of yourself in front of your eyes, because your inner ear wasn't opened at the time it was spoken. And because there's no time lapse, this is the word of God in you now. Now, when you hear this then from the Christ, verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. This is Spirit saying, in one ear and out the other, won't help. And a Sunday class in itself is of no value, except where the truth is sown into your very being. Now, the human mind is a stranger to God. And that same human mind will continue to be a stranger to God. It is not a channel for the divine consciousness. And so even when the words go into that human mind, they're not sealed up in an imperishable place. That mind dies with the body. And unless those words are making contact with something other than the mind of you, they're of no value. That's why it is always stressed, you must take these words into consciousness, you must contemplate. You must plant them. You must meditate. You must nourish those words. That is the water only. You cannot be reborn of the water. The truth in mind will not take you through rebirth. It will make you think you are being reborn, and one day you will say, "Why did this happen to me?" So many people say it. Why did this happen to me? I'm a good student. I hear every word. I memorize every word. I listen to tapes day in and day out. Why did it happen to me? Because you were reborn only of the water. You took truth into mind. You fed that which was not of the Father, thinking that you were doing a wonderful thing. And that mind was a traitor all the time. It could not be a channel for the divine consciousness. It had to die to itself, like an ear of wheat. It had to die. And that mind which dies unto itself, losing personal sense, then takes the water of truth and gives it a chance to be nourished by the seed. The spirit of contemplation is joined to the water. It becomes a living seed within you. The water of truth and the spirit of truth, a level higher than the human mind, flowing through the soul. As the soul becomes conscious of the spirit, the truth within you joining with the spirit becomes living consciousness, living substance, and living power. So that all mind power in the world is dwarfed. All material power in the world is dwarfed. And you have spiritual power. Power that says to the flood, "Fear not. You only think you're there because the world mind is showing you forth, but I am there. And I make the flood into still waters." And all this happens without a word, without a thought. You're in a different level of truth. You're in truth which enacts itself, not because a human mind speaks it or hears it, but you're in truth which is being itself. And the truth reveals the absence of the lie. Now, the self of you is the truth. It doesn't have to say truth or know truth. It is the truth. And that level of you which is the truth is the level you're reaching toward as you are willing to let truth in mind be contemplated in the stone jars until the wine of spirit is evolved in consciousness, and the truth is your very being then, which needs no defense. The truth is your very life eternal then, which knows no lifespan which can be threatened. And I suppose in a class of this sort we can speak pure truth, as pure as the words can be spoken. And you might say then, where is the atom bomb and where is God? Suppose there were a bomb being dropped in this city today. Would God be present? Would the bomb be able to be dropped in spite of God's presence? Or in truth, would you have to say that because God is present, any appearance of a bomb must be an illusion? There cannot be a bomb and God in the same place. And if you're accepting the presence of the bomb, are you not accepting the absence of God? You see the trick the mind will play on you, the mind you have trusted. The moment it accepts the presence of the bomb, it is saying God is not there. That same mind says you have a problem in your body. It's saying God is not there, isn't it? Now do you see it's the adjustment of belief of a mind which is false? The presence of God is your guarantee that all else unlike God is absent. And unless you have found that place in consciousness which knows the presence of God, you are vulnerable to all of the mental beliefs that things that could not happen in God's presence are happening. That is because the human mind does not know God. It does not understand the omnipresence of God. It doesn't understand that wherever the presence of God, the power of God must be. And it is that human mind which is the channel for all of the fear you have ever felt. That human mind does not know that wherever the presence of God is, abundance is. Health is, supply is, unlimitation is, life is. And wherever the presence of God is, that life is continuous without end. And your mind cannot accept that kind of a God. So you get rid of that mind, not of the God. You get rid of that faculty which is incapable of accepting a God everywhere, who is a power everywhere. You get rid of the mind which looks at infinity and shortens it down to bite size. You don't trust that mind anymore because you know it is not the faculty through which God expresses in life. Now I have a little list here of things we could use as a checklist, somewhat long. We're beginning with, I am spirit. I am spirit because God is spirit and God is all. The allness of God, the allness of spirit, guarantees that I am spirit. Spirit is not mortal. Spirit is not flesh. Spirit is not a condition of flesh. Therefore, I am immortal, and I am not flesh or a condition of flesh. And all such appearances are part of the world deception of the mind. I am spirit without fleshly conditions. The kingdom of God within me is the spirit of God, and that is my identity. And I accept that as the identity of everyone on this earth, so that I have the unbroken, indivisible spirit everywhere as my conscious awareness. I live in that invisible, everywhere spirit of God. The living presence of God is your unbroken consciousness of truth. There's no place in the living spirit of God, which is the allness of the universe. There's no place for matter. It doesn't matter that it appears to be. There's no place for it. Spirit is all. God is all. And the Spirit, which is God, is the everywhere life, the everywhere self, the everywhere being, the one self everywhere. That spiritual being is all that is here. There's no matter in it, and there are no conditions of matter. It is conscious. That spirit is conscious. Certainly, if I had been willing to accept that a human being is conscious, I must accept that God is conscious. And God being conscious here certainly must be conscious of more than the human being had been conscious of. God would be conscious of God. Spirit would be conscious of itself. Being conscious of itself, and only of itself, because only spirit is here, I will say then that the substance of spirit, which is conscious of itself, is maintaining itself, aware of everything happening within itself. Nothing can happen within spirit that spirit is not aware of. We'll call that the omniscience of spirit. It is omniconscious. But that is all that is here. There is no place then where anything can happen in spirit that spirit is not aware of. If the nature of spirit is perfection, there is nothing that can happen in the entire universe of spirit which is not perfect. If God is perfection, perfection is everywhere. The consciousness that is God is maintaining perfection everywhere. I can rest there. In that perfection is my being. My being and that perfection are one and the same. I renew this awareness day in and day out until the perfection of the invisible Father everywhere is all that is acceptable. And whatever in me would deny it must be discarded. Until there is no remnant left which is not pure spirit, accepting pure spiritual identity everywhere, acknowledging the spiritual self everywhere as the only, and trusting the power of that spirit, being all conscious, to maintain itself. Now you're standing behind the material world. And you can watch the images, you can watch the forms, you can watch the good and the bad of it, you can watch all the opposites perform their masquerade. You're standing in the unbroken consciousness of the Father's self as yourself, as the invisible child of God. and all that happens before your physical eyes is not the Father's business, is not happening in the Father, and therefore to you it is not happening. And this is your fidelity to the consciousness of spirit. You'll discover this is the only sword you have ever needed. This is the only offense and defense you have ever needed. The knowledge that behind this world I stand as the invisible self. Free of it, detached from it, watching it, beholding it, knowing it is not my Father's business. And I am not in that world. I am sowing to the Spirit. You rest there. You abide in that spiritual knowledge that you are behind the universe of the world flesh. Not sowing to that flesh. Living in the conscious awareness of the invisible Spirit everywhere. And you'll discover nothing in your invisible knowledge is ever in any way defiled by the visible world. And everything you are able to know in the invisible spirit becomes the law unto the visible world where you are concerned. You're in the mystical consciousness. You're in the soul, not in the mind. At first, you're in that tip of the mind, which is still the in-between stage. You're only rising to the mystical consciousness. And that is why you need faith and patience and knowledge and vision. And many signs to assure you that you're right. But that is where your consciousness should now be resting. Until it is no longer behind the visible world, but it is where the visible world seems to be. And for you, the visible world is nothing but thoughts in individual human minds flitting through space and time, recognized by you as pictures without substance. Cosmic images without power. That life and death itself, as the human mind sees it, is but a masquerade. But always the living reality of self is always present. And you're being sown into the spiritual universe where life begins, where life is, where life is experienced as a living spirit, a living child of God. You're passing into the new consciousness, the soul consciousness, which walks in the kingdom of God, right where the world sees the physical world. And as the turnover takes place, only that which is not there is sloughed away, and what is here remains as you. This is translation. This is the meaning of rebirth. This is translation from material sense to spiritual sense. Until your material world does drop away, until the body of flesh is no longer needed, until the image of flesh is discarded, until you're walking in that invisible kingdom as a living self. All of this is true already, waiting to be realized. We're no longer victims of material things in the world. We're not subject to material laws, except to that degree to which we insist on living in the mind, which is part of the fabric of the world. And I think the broader vision should be clear by now. The chapter, Rising to the Mystical Consciousness, has been previewed, in a sense, through this class today. And that's chapter 5. beyond words and thoughts, rising to the mystical consciousness. Everything we have done in this class in these past 7 or 8 talks is to build the awareness that we are not victims of circumstance, subject to the whims and the will of a world around us. We can let ourselves be if we are persuaded by our own human minds that we are separate, isolated selves in form. But when you accept the Spirit of the Lord as a reality, as an omnipresent allness, and are given some insight to include yourself, you no longer live by chance. You're no longer swept up by tidal waves of human thought. There are no longer circumstances beyond your control. All that is past. Spirit has perpetual dominion because it has no opposite. And the shadow of the world for you is revealed as nothing more than that shadow. You're out of it. You're out of the echoes in time and space. You walk in the universe of the Father, about your Father's business, living as the child of God, Christ living your life. Now this is a reality. In the mystical consciousness, matter for you becomes part of yesterday's memories. Nothing more. The mystical consciousness walks in the kingdom of heaven on earth and experiences that kingdom. And through it, through that consciousness of the invisible spirit, you draw unto yourself all of a like state of consciousness, and more and more and more of the earth's material surfaces are dissolved. The very bombs that you see dropped are revealed as part of the new enlightened consciousness, which is dissolving the material world right before your very eyes. Every outer event which has seemed to be so drastic and catastrophic to us is part of the increasing inner enlightenment of the world. The shadows of materialism are being destroyed. And they will continue to be dissolved until you stand revealed in your Father's kingdom without opposite. Don't be misled by the appearances. All that is present is the consciousness of God, the pure, perfect spiritual identity. Nothing else is here. Nothing else has ever been here. And in the pure consciousness of self, you will walk in that perfection which the Father says is necessary for all who claim to be the child of God. Be ye perfect then as your Father. Walk in my spirit. in my life. And behold, I will make all things new, as the world that never was is dissolved around you. We're going to meditate now for a moment to resolve some of the issues that have been presented, and not to mull them over with thought, but rather to rest in the peace of the presence. Always knowing that where I stand is the Father. Across the ocean is the Father, and in between is the Father. In every nation stands the invisible Father. And in the Father there are no races and religions, no separations, no differences, only in human minds. In the Father is the reality of one. That's where I stand. No pieces, no fragments, no divisions. One infinite spirit. This is the reality of the mystical consciousness. We don't come out of that reality to begin to divide up the world with the human mind again, with human problems, with human lacks and limitations, with human aches and pains. We don't come back into that mind universe . We remain in the mystical awareness of my Father's kingdom. And instead of fighting a whole world, we simply control that mind which would bring a world into our experience when that world has never been there. Time to go forth with this is when you have it, not before. When you have it, you won't have to go forth. The world will be brought to you. For within your infinite self is the appearance called a world. It is not out there. It is within your being. All is within your being. Every river, every sea, every ocean, every mountain is within your infinite being. Within your spiritual self, these appearances are made manifest to the human mind. Nothing is external to your being. There's no place to go. You are there now. Throughout the day, merely to know the presence of God is present everywhere now, brings a great power to your consciousness, a great sense of truth, peace, harmony, and this always manifests in some very pleasant way. The presence of God is everywhere now. Whatever denies it cannot be the truth, because the truth is that the presence of God is everywhere now. Sometimes, before you've even taken thought, you feel as if the presence of God, which is somewhere else than right here, is also your own being. You feel as if you were there consciously, just in a flash of inner insight. You'll discover that presence, which is everywhere, is also the sun. You'll find you are that everywhere self, just by taking thought constantly about the presence is everywhere. You're decentralizing from a person in a time and a place, finding your roots are everywhere. And that everywhereness of you is conscious everywhere. We're getting off the earth, off the material earth. We're living in the everywhereness of self, for that is where the power is. When you come across the phrase, the only begotten Son, you are being told about the everywhereness of the one begotten Son, the everywhereness of self, of Christ, of light, of being. There must be a conscious release into that everywhereness as yourself. I would suggest then that this coming week, at least 3 times a day, you simply relax into the knowledge that God is everywhere now. That's all. God is everywhere now. Relax with it. Take it into consciousness. Rest with it. Be still with it until it seeps through and permeates higher than your human mind. Deep into you, till it's part of your eternal self. And you will see how it bears fruit. And that's not mental effort. It's the very opposite. It's relaxing in the presence. Next week we're going to do Rising to the Mystical Consciousness, 5th chapter of Beyond Words and Thoughts. Thanks again.